Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Operation Earth, comedians chatting about climate change. I am Dr. Matt Winning. I'm an environmental researcher and stand-up comedian. I've been doing both of those for over a decade now. Basically, what I used to do was do comedy to kind of lighten my mood and tried not to think about the impending doom of the planet. But now I think it's time to talk about it and actually address it head on. So every week I have a different special guest and we chat about news stories. We will go through a carbon footprint calculator, see how green they are. Basically, like in Top Gear, where, you know, they have like who's the fastest celebrity, we're going to find out who the greenest one is. It's basically a podcast for people who care about our climate emergency but aren't doing much about it. This is for you.
A weapon to fight climate change. It's presented by Dr. Matt Winning.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. In this week's episode, I am talking to two people that I have known for quite a long time. The three of us actually did a Fringe show back in 2010 together. I'm talking to Fern Brady, who you might know from 8 Out of 10 Cats, The Alternative Comedy Experience, News Quiz, Live from the BBC, Live at the Apollo. She's done stuff with Frankie Boyle. And also, I'm talking to Eleanor Morton, who has done also the News Quiz, Newsjack, BBC Scotland stuff, Breaking the News. Both of them have been on that. Anyway, so there's three Scottish people talking about climate change, and we're going to talk about fashion industry for a bit and also heat waves and some other stuff. So hope you enjoy the episode. Fern Brady, your carbon footprint is a 27.9 tonnes, which is 289% larger than the sort of UK aim that people want to have, which is about 10-ish, something like that. So quite big. We'll find out exactly what it was.
I don't believe that.
Mine is 12.3.
12.3 tonnes?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
That's what happens when you're a less successful comedian.
12.3. 27.
No one has asked me to go abroad for any kids.
And most of this is going to be you abroad. Like, we'll find out in a second where it comes in. If you feel right. So the 2020 target is 10.5 tonnes.
Yeah.
Right. For the UK. Eleanor's is 12.3, so it's a bit higher than the 2020 target on this WWF calculator. Yours is quite substantially higher than, but then it's your employer flying you across the world.
Yeah.
So we're just about to find out the results and how it breaks down. 3/4 of Fern's has traveled.
I've done really well in a school test.
Yeah, you've done pretty well.
It's so bad to feel pleased about that.
Right. So we'll go through each of the sections. I think the first one we talked about was home.
Yep.
Yeah. Which basically it's sort of saying, yeah, it's giving you tips about how to eat. But you're pretty good at home stuff, weren't you? You eat in season. Food stuff, sorry.
Yeah, that's pretty much, that was the only thing I was aware of stuff I could do for climate change.
Yeah.
Everything involving my house.
You're really good at.
Yeah.
Your boyfriend, you said.
Well, because he sort of is really into it, so I get made to recycle and made to not waste food and what other stuff? And then the whole thing with the taps.
Oh yeah, you said cherries. You're buying lots of cherries at the moment.
Well, because they're in season, and yeah. Also the one food that I eat a lot. I noticed when I was doing my tax return that I seem to just eat blueberries every single day. so I've made a point to look at the label, and I don't buy them if they're from like Chile or something.
Yeah,
gotta buy them from K Kent.
Kent Boyberries.
I hate Kent.
Everything's going to come from Kent now. Sparkling Kent wine.
That's pretty good. Yeah, pretty much Kent's just going to be where everything gets made in the future.
I'm quite bad with food. Sort of, in my head, every time I go shopping, I think I'm going to buy less plastic and buy in season, and then I don't, because I get like, I'm like, well, maybe they just shouldn't give me the option, and then I wouldn't do it. So I do buy quite a lot of stuff out of season, and in packaging, and I don't compost it or anything.
Whereas you're pretty good, Fern, in terms of diet, so you're vegetarian as well.
But would it be better if I was vegan, because then the cows wouldn't need to.
You're doing pretty well though. I mean, veggie's pretty good. All pretty low emissions from that. You've also both of you spent about the same in takeaways every, but it's kind of hard if you're running about doing.
I definitely could. I think I could have. I could definitely cut back on takeaways if, because my boyfriend's like always showing me up, and he always like makes his lunch to take into work, which is so time consuming.
How does he get the time for it?
I don't know. He makes like really elaborate, like, you know, those Mira soda vegan recipes in The Guardian.
Okay.
He like makes them.
Nice.
But it just would take up a lot of time.
But he doesn't make you any lunches.
No.
No. Very separate lives in that sense.
Very separate lives generally. what other stuff do I do food wise? But yeah, definitely I could cut back on Pret.
What's your favourite foods?
Whatever.
I mean, if you could choose to eat, if you had to eat one meal for like the next.
It's really boring, but maybe pizza.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I don't get very many takeaways anymore because my front door is the garden gate and takeaways have nowhere to find it. So I've given up trying.
Oh, yeah. We should probably clarify to any listeners.
Why?
Eleanor lives in a shed.
I don't live in a shed. I mean, I sort of do.
You kind of live in it. I've never been, but
no.
But the way you've described it is that you live in a shed.
It's a small house in a garden.
In a garden. You say in a garden a lot, which means
it is in a garden.
Yeah, cool. We're on a home. You both have homes that you live. You go home sometimes.
Yep. I live under a flower pot.
Yes, Eleanor's down at the bottom of the garden with all the Poddington peas. Eleanor lives in a shed, and Fern lives in a basement.
Yeah.
That's why we're so pale.
You're pretty good at stuff. You said you're pretty good. Both of you had like low efficiency taps and stuff like that.
Oh, actually, my home is my worst one.
Is it?
Yeah, I wonder why. But I'm not in. My landlady is. I can't change anything like my energy supplier,
right,
or anything, because it comes from the main house. So
you just have to sort of, you're sort of living off of some.
Basically,
you're living with a parent that's not your parent.
But I can live in the garden, so it feels like I'm independent.
Yeah, that's nice. How long have you been in your place, Fern?
4 or 5 years, but I think we're going to leave this year.
Oh yeah, do you like it?
I like it because it's the best landlord I've ever had. And it's really good not like just being kicked out for no reason and things like that. It's good, but I'm really tired of living in a basement, and I'm going to get a house, so
cool.
That'll be cool. But we recycle everything into free things. We've got a food recycling bin, plastics, and then just the normal rubbish.
You sound very happy about it.
Well, it's just the regime, and like
the regime.
It's just like how smug he is when he explains it to me. And I was like, can you understand that when I put something in the wrong bin, I'm not doing it deliberately to aggravate you? Anyway, because I put a scarf in the plastics bin, and the binman like took it and threw it on the pavement, so I put it back in the bin.
Wow.
Good to see what would happen. And I've also wondered before, like, if I'm putting the wrong stuff in the wrong bins sometimes, what does that mess up the whole recycling process?
I have a lot of questions about recycling, because I've heard if there's any food at all on your recycling, then it doesn't get recycled, and I don't know if that's an urban legend or not.
Oh,
because if it is true, why wouldn't they make more of a deal of it? I've only heard it from people and not from a government website or anything.
Yeah, because my boyfriend like rents out milk cartons and stuff.
So I try and do that, but sometimes I get a bit lazy or it's just hard to get the food off. And then I'm just wondering...
I think it depends on the council. You know, it depends on where it is and like, stuff like that. It's not like a one rule for everywhere sort of thing. So, I don't have a final fact on what happens if you put some stuff that's got food in it in your recycling bin, but basically, try and do your best and still recycle anything, even if it's got a little bit of food on it, because I think they can sort it out. But I don't really have an answer. If anyone's got a better answer than that, please get in touch and I'll put it in the show notes. So, yeah, everybody, if you could keep checking the show notes at least once a day for the next half a year, that would be great, because then you'll have an answer. Cheers! We're talking about travel now. Fern, that was 3/4 of your carbon footprint was travel, because you take flights everywhere, because you're very famous and you only travel by...
Shut up, no.
You only travel by flights, you only accept things
from... But what about this? Uh-huh. I'd barely travelled in my life before that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Before travelling a lot for comedy.
How do you find it? Do you like flying?
No.
Does anyone like flying?
Some people really like it. Some people are like getting frequent flyer things so that they can like, I get to, you know, sit in lounges.
I mean, if I got to sit in first class every time, maybe I'd like it.
Yeah.
Have you thought about going to Australia by boat like a 50s immigrant?
Not at all.
Could be fun. I mean, it would take like 3 months.
Yeah. Not at all.
I mean, if you could get some sort of like a cruise work on the way there.
Oh, God.
I don't know why people live in the countryside.
I do. It's much nicer.
Oh, it's nice because then you can breathe and not
die.
I hate the thought of not being able to buy stuff or go to the shops.
Yeah, you have to think, like properly think about like, oh, I need this for the next month.
Yeah, you'd love that.
I think so. Yeah. It'd make you think a bit more, surely.
Yeah, no, I think so. I mean, like, and you get more, like, obviously my parents got a lot more, like, farm foods now. Cause
farm foods?
My mum as
well. Shop or farm foods?
Farmed foods.
No, like,
farm
they get
foods.
Eggs from...
Yeah, all that stuff. Yeah.
That's like what I would like to do, is have chickens so that I can have ethical eggs, because...
Also a big goal of my mum's.
Because they kill baby chickens so that we can have eggs.
Yeah, they put them in blenders.
Yeah,
just chop them up.
Cheery stuff.
Okay,
on the podcast,
what's the next
today
bit?
We're on his stuff now. Fern, you said you bought a piano and a porch swing in the last year.
Well, the porch swing was bought for me.
Do you use those two at the same time?
No, but they were definitely bought with like the plan of, this is the summer I'm going to have when I don't do the Fringe. I'm going to get stoned, play my piano, and sit on my porch swing.
What kind of piano is it?
It's an electric one, but it's not I can't stress enough, it's not a keyboard.
No,
it's
I know.
It's a kawaii.
I know what you mean.
And it's,
I know what you mean.
Have you been taking lessons, or do you already put
it? Oh, no, I already played it.
Play. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Great.
To a reasonably high standard.
Amazing. Never knew that about you.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. It's very soothing because it uses both sides of my brain.
Yeah. Ooh. I find the same point. It's weird because I used to, before I started comedy, play guitar in bands and stuff and do that a lot. And then I stopped and I didn't do it for about 8 years. And now when I play guitar, I'm like, oh, this is really relaxing.
Yeah.
So not stressful. So you had a piano and a porch swing. Eleanor, you had, I have written down here, phone. You bought a new phone.
Yeah, I got one for Christmas because my old one was... Well, I have a theory that Apple make their phones more breakable.
Yeah.
You buy more, because I've never broken any other phone.
Imagine that's the case.
So now I've got a very basic, well, not basic, Motorola, so it's not like a fancy brand.
Yeah.
But it does the job. And
you haven't bought a washing machine. You're not allowed a washing machine in your shed.
Well, there's no room for a washing machine, so I do.
So you go to the laundrette.
I go to the laundrette, and but I do use the dryer every time.
So that you don't have to bring it home and dry it in the garden.
Yeah,
we hang our clothes on a tree. And can I say as well, we got all the furniture in our house, almost all of it, for free off of FreeCycle. Like,
oh, yeah.
Because in London, you can get insanely good furniture from rich people that are just like, I have too many sofas, or
You know,
like, yeah.
You know what else is good is if you don't want something, you just leave it outside your house with a note and it will be gone in the next hour.
Wow.
I mean, it worked for me anyway.
Yeah.
I got rid of a monitor.
People take anything in London, pretty much.
Yeah, basically.
Well, when you're saying that, I've got friends who, when they first moved to London, they were the people that went around and took the stuff.
I know those people.
You both spent a fair amount on, like, well, not so much clothes, Eleanor, but better on clothes, fair, and also health and grooming and something else.
Grooming. You know what I have done recently, actually, is I've switched to reusable cotton pads.
Oh, wow.
Instead of cotton wool for makeup and stuff.
How you find that?
Yeah, it's good. You just put them in the washing machine. They come in a bag. I got it from a website called Leave No Trace. And,
very good.
Yeah, it's good.
It's a good idea.
Because it takes a lot of water to make cotton wool. But obviously then you throw it away.
That's just made me think of bad things that I do. So I use makeup removal wipes. That's bad for the environment.
Throw them away.
Yeah, it is so hard not to use them sometimes, though.
Yeah.
Just because they're very convenient.
Especially on the go and in comedy. I like to take my makeup off on the train home from gigs. I do so much. But the worstest thing I do is buying too many clothes that I don't need.
So, I mean, this is going to feed in, I think, pretty well to a news story about how the Environmental Audit Committee came up with an idea of, like, we had to put a 1p charge on every item of clothes in the UK because we buy like double the amount of clothes of like Germany or Italy. We buy so much stuff that we hardly use. So they basically said we should put a 1p tax on every item of clothes and it'll help pay for like extra collection and like sorting of the clothes. And then the government said, nah, let's not bother doing that.
Oh, did they? But they're such a nice government.
But currently in the UK, basically we buy a lot of unnecessary stuff. So you're not alone, Fern. You shouldn't feel like you're the only person doing this.
It's just so wasteful. But it's also because I think of how little I bought when I was skinny. I used to only ever have one pair of shoes.
Yeah.
Maybe two pairs of shoes at any one time. And, like, you only have 2 feet, so you don't need that many shoes.
Yeah.
You only have 2 feet, Fern Brady, 2019.
Please, so you don't need shoes. And you only have one body, so I'm like, why do I need this many clothes that I don't wear? And I just buy clothes and wear the same ones over and over again. I've got things. I never thought I'd be the type of person that would have clothes that would sit unworn in my wardrobe with a tag on.
But also, a lot of clothes now are made very shoddily.
Yeah.
And then so you have to buy more because it falls apart. Because I bought some shoes from Primark the other day. I mean, obviously, so they're from Primark, so they're going to be shit. But
it's sort of playing on, like, people aren't, you know, maybe struggling a bit, don't have as much money. So it's like, oh, well, I'll buy that. I can afford this now, but then they make it shit, so then you have to buy more of them.
Yeah, and these shoes have already broken, and I'm like, well, I'm not going to go to Clarks and spend 60 quid, but I'm not going to go back to Primark and spend 10 quid.
But it's because we're also sort of like, we need stuff now. Like, we're just like, I'd rather have this now, and also I'm not going to wait and save up to buy, like, a decent pair of shoes. And so, I don't know, culture is very much like, but you can get this now and it's fine, even though it's pretty shit.
I mean, my mum always talks about how, like, her parents and grandparents, you know, in those days, if you had a coat, you would have it for 10 years because fashion didn't change as fast.
Yeah.
Well, and so, you know, it was... And everything
and
was made
Instagram.
Better. Yeah, exactly. And everything was made better, so... So people did wear stuff longer.
I'm now just imagining what Instagram would have been like in like the 50s.
It's just the same poodle skirt again and again.
Yeah.
And I saw that ASOS have now got because ASOS would be one of the worst websites for encouraging fast fashion.
Yeah.
And they've got this big sustainability drive, but it feels like it's just paying lip service to it because it's fashionable amongst young people, but I don't really I haven't really looked in it. I just saw stuff started appearing on the website.
It's hard to know, isn't it? Like, whether things are genuine or not. Just like, this company does this, and then it makes you feel like, I'll just buy that. Then it's fine because they're probably sorting it out, but you don't actually know.
Jeans as well. I read the whole thing on how much jeans use loads of water
because that's cotton as well.
Yeah,
and there's been like a huge drive to learn how to make sustainable ones.
So you're not supposed to wash your jeans, you're supposed to freeze them.
What?
That's it. That's what, and so you don't need to wash them. And
when
use
I stand up, talk earlier, you'll see how much I abide by that.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh nice.
I don't freeze them.
No, just don't wash them.
Yeah.
The that's reason right. I'm not too bad with clothes is because I hate clothes shopping and I get stressed and bored.
Yeah. I find,
or I'd probably have more clothes.
I have weird feet, and so I only have about two pairs of shoes.
Oh, I forgot about your weird feet. There was a whole thing about getting some special shoes.
Yeah, I've got like special made, and so I've basically got really the flattest feet in the entire world. I went to a shop and like they like check your feet and like they do like a scan and stuff, and then the woman said your right foot is like that of an 85-year-old woman. Like I've never seen anything so bad in a young person.
Wow.
As your right foot, like it's just there's no arch in it whatsoever, and it means that I've got like pain. Like basically I couldn't walk for about a year properly.
How old were you when you couldn't walk?
Like 2 years ago.
Oh my god.
So then I've now got special like insole things made and stuff.
For your recent wedding, did you wear second hand clothes?
Oh, good point. I wore a kilt that I've owned for about 15 years.
Oh, yeah, you get a lot of wear out of brand.
But I did buy a new jacket for it. That basically what happened was when I bought it originally, it was, I don't know, I was like either 18 or 21, so I was a wee skinny boy.
Yeah.
And now I'm a 34-year-old.
You're only 34?
Gentleman. Uh-huh.
What?
Yeah.
I keep thinking you're like much older than me, but not because you look old.
I just try and act like I'm much older than you.
Yeah, yeah, you're 1 year older.
Yeah, yeah.
That's mental.
But yeah, so I bought a new jacket, but then I'll hopefully keep that for the rest of my life. I'll be all right.
I was saying earlier, I think men's clothes are made better and made to last longer because, like, I've seen, like, boys' T-shirts, girls' T-shirts, just the girls' ones will be flimsier and thinner.
Yeah.
And will just disintegrate.
And my wife bought a new dress, but not like a wedding dress. So it's just a dress that she then has already worn a bunch of other times.
Dress.
Like
dress,
wedding dresses like must be
insane.
Yeah,
like just for one day.
We can only wear it again for like breakdown purposes. There's no
a friend show at some point.
Yeah, you can't even wear it for your second wedding because that would be
you can't
faux pas.
The same
yeah.
One.
Yeah,
terrible.
There was actually, this is really weird. Yesterday, I was getting a coffee with a flat white with oat milk.
Oh, lovely!
And the person in the queue in front of me was talking to the guy, and then afterwards, when she left, he said, "Oh, she works in like digital fashion."
Right.
And I was like, I don't know what that is, and he was like, "Oh, it's like you can pay for things with your ring. There's like a chip in your ring or something, to like, or like your jacket's a phone or something." Mad stuff. Like, but this is this is an industry I didn't even know existed.
That's what we thought was going to happen in the 50s. That's what we thought now would be.
Yeah.
Everyone.
Your shoes
talking
got Wi-Fi
into
in it or something.
Like the Jetsons.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. Tipping points. Tipping points. Environmental tip of the week. If you live somewhere with lots of air pollution, get your kids to go on Snapchat so they get used to having actual filters on their face. Environmental tip of the week. Tipping points.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Going to talk about heat waves? Eleanor is not a fan of heat.
Boo to heat.
Fern, how do you feel about very hot summers that we've had the last couple of years?
I really don't like hot weather either. I just went to Dubai and it was 40 degrees Celsius.
What did you have to do? Did we outside much?
No, we couldn't. I was there for 10 days and we couldn't. We went outside twice in 10 days.
Was that really weird?
Really hard to not be able to go outside. You don't realise how much you need to be walked like a dog. And as soon as you went outside, your glasses would steam up. Horrendous. Humans shouldn't live there.
No.
Here's a cool thing, or not a cool thing. Dubai, they literally couldn't give a shit about the environment. Got one of the worst carbon footprints in the world.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
You really notice how much we're doing stuff here to try and counter that. They couldn't give a shit.
It's also interesting that they don't care, but they are definitely going to be one of the places mostly affected by it. And then they're just going to have to be like, oh, well, we can never go outside ever again.
I mean, I imagine now people who live there can't go out much. Like, generally.
They all go away in this. When we were there, most people leave because it's too hot to be outside.
That would...
If you don't mind me asking, so what, it was a show in Dubai?
Oh, yeah, I was doing gigs there.
But who was still there at that time of year?
Just expats and, rich...
Just the rich
people that work there.
That had aircon.
The Emirati undercover policeman was in checking what I was saying on stage. That was just as me and Alfie Brown, we got to the point of being like, oh, Dubai's alright, nothing bad happened to us. And then the last night, undercover Emirati police.
Checked on by the police. Wow.
But yeah, I hate hot weather, and whenever I see heat waves and stuff, it makes me feel anxious about...
Yeah, I feel anxious.
Global warming. And then I saw the mussels were getting cooked in their shells in California.
That is horrific.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw it in Europe recently, the tarmac was melting in some countries. Yeah. It got really hot this summer.
Yeah, but nobody's really doing it. The thing is, nobody's really preparing. It's quite interesting. So there's a report out by the Committee on Climate Change in the UK last week saying how little we've been doing to prepare for this. They're barely preparing for a world where we have done lots of action on climate change, let alone the fact that we're not really doing that much on it. So we're going to end up in a completely different world where runways at the airports will be melting and planes can't take off, and nobody's preparing for any of this stuff. We're talking about the next over the next 20 years where this thing's going to begin to kick in properly. And nobody's really planning for it.
But I think Britain's terrible at planning for weather anyway. Anytime anything happens, we're not ready for floods, we're not ready for heat waves, we're not ready for snow. Why are we always shit with this weather?
And we like to talk, we talk about weather all the time.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
And we never prepared for anything.
Never prepared.
I read that in the Evening Standard or something last year. It was Britain seems incapable of running outside of any temperature that isn't 15 degrees Celsius.
It's leaves so on weird. The line. Leaves on the line. Or
trains too hot.
Trains too cold. And everyone's like, I can't possibly. It's far too hot, far too cold. And it's because this part of the country, I know it's getting hotter than it used to, but it gets often as hot as somewhere like France.
Yeah.
But their houses are built for hot weather. They've got shutters and all these things. And it's why do none of the houses in the south of England have that kind of design?
They're going to have to soon.
That's the other thing. When you were saying about you wouldn't go to Australia because it's too hot.
Yeah, but they've got the infrastructure for it.
Well, yeah. My friend moved over from Melbourne last summer, and she was like, this is the worst, hottest summer I've had in my life. That was in the UK. And she was like, oh, your houses are brick and they just get hotter and hotter.
And there's no aircon.
So that's really interesting as well. So basically, I found that I couldn't sleep for about weeks on end last year.
Yeah, last year was
too hot.
We used to wake up and soak towels in ice water.
I used to put a flannel in the freezer.
The interesting thing, and I think I mentioned this maybe on one other podcast, I can't quite remember, about how people don't realise how much that affects people as well. So we as humans are supposed to cool down at night, right? But because if you live in a really warm city, we don't actually cool enough. So then we don't get enough sleep, or we're not rested properly. And then crime rates go up people can't function. We can't work. So we're not as productive. All of this stuff happens basically because we're not preparing for hot weather.
Well, that happened to me in Dubai, because me and the other comedians couldn't figure out what was wrong with us, because we were just like laying around sort of sleeping all day or half asleep, and then couldn't really sleep at night and just felt really unwell. And it's because, just exactly what you're saying, your body can't run at that temperature. And it takes people that move to Dubai, it takes them 2 years to get acclimatized to it.
2 years.
And it also affects your immune system. So just in the same way you can get sick from cold weather, you can get sick when it's too hot. But yeah, it made me feel really unwell.
I also feel like I have SAD. But for summer, and I feel like no one sympathises with that because everyone else is like, loves hot weather. But I get so anxious and depressed if it's too hot, right, because I can't do anything because I'm like, that's the whole day written off.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to be able to concentrate or go outside or, you know, or anything. And I think I read something like an article last year that was finally like, some people find summer depressing. And I was like, oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much.
You need to be like, we need to get some medical professionals to come and do experiments on you find out what it, you
know. Broken.
I don't like hot weather. I like sunny, bright weather. It's good when there's lots of light.
Yes. Yeah. Or even hot weather with a nice breeze is fine.
I feel like Scotland's a good, like,
yeah,
even the West Coast, so you'd go down to like Largs or something and it would be warm, but it would be like there'd be wind in your face at all times as well.
Bracing.
So you'd be like, oh, this is fine. It's sort of cold and warm.
I just feel as a nation, we haven't let, you know, we haven't let our activities depend on weather in Scotland, because you can't plan for weather because it's probably going to be shit. So you can't like, oh, I'm not going to go outside today. You have to, otherwise you're going to be...
When I was up last week, it was about 16 degrees and people were sunbathing topless in the park and having barbecues.
You got to get it in.
It was absurd. but then I suppose it's good. I mean, I'm saying that about Scotland, but then when you go to Scandinavian countries, you're like, isn't it great how they're... Because they're always like, there's no such thing as cold weather, only not dressing for appropriately for weather. And actually, I was in Finland last year, and I think the week before I went to Finland, I got stuck in Belfast for a week because of like that much, like a centimetre of snow, if that. And none of the planes could take off. Then I went to Finland, where it was like deep snow everywhere and minus 20 degrees, and they just de-iced the planes. Why can't we
do that?
There's a video in Victoria Station that plays on a loop about why the trains can't go when there's leaves on the line, and it's so passive aggressive, like, yes, we're aware that it seems ridiculous, but here is our 20 minute video on why actually leaves are really bad. It's very defensive. It's funny.
Where do they play it?
Just
on
like
the screen? Oh, on screen?
Yeah, there's a few screens. It's on I've never stopped to watch it, but I've seen it. Sometimes they play it when there's bad weather. To be like, actually, guys, before you say anything, leaves are bad.
Nice.
Leave us alone, but yeah.
You were trying to defend having babies.
Here we go.
So you think that you are fine because you've decided you're never... So you're definitely never going to have a kid, you think?
No, and I'm at the... My body's trying to make me have one just now.
Oh, yeah?
And it's really hard to resist those thoughts. But there's just... How can people justify it? You have to be irrational to have one. But I know that human beings are irrational and we're not, you know.
Well, I mean,
it's also basically the only thing we're meant to do.
Yeah.
We're here to create more art. No, that's... We're not animals.
No, but, you know what I mean? It's like, that's what the driving forces.
Tell me about it. Do you know how hard it is to like overcome these thoughts? Ugh, it's disgusting.
Give in to the thoughts of
that. I thought they made up that that happens. I thought that was the patriarchy, like, made up.
No, I think it does happen.
Yeah, it does happen. It happens. Yeah. Like, I love babies now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm...
I really
100%
like...
100%
there. Children, yeah, I know, I just men don't wanna... are like that as well. I don't know why they... Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I like them, but at the moment, not enough to take care of one 24 hours a day, so...
I still intellectually... It's such a core part of my identity to not want to have a baby, so it's really mad that it's this thing that I now just have to wait out a few years of, like... Yeah.
So, okay, so what is the carbon footprint of having a baby.
So, I mean, I did a show about this last year. Which
I know, I can't remember all the facts.
So the whole show last year was about thinking about having a kid and what that is.
That's mine this year.
Oh, yeah.
A bit of it, yeah.
But basically, there was a study which some really good people did a couple of years ago that came up with a number for it. A lot of people take issues with that number. So they came up with like what the top things you could do for the planet were. And most of the stuff's really good. But then the baby one was like, I don't know, 25 times higher than any other stuff. So it was like, yes, they came up with like 58 tons per person.
Right.
But I then, you know, I've looked into the maths a bit behind it and other things. And it's like, it's not that bad. And also it's not that baby. It's the baby halved between the parents and then the grandchild quartered between the parents,
oh,
and
right,
then the next
generation.
So it's like,
gruesome.
If you choose if you choose to have a kid and assume that they're going to have lots of kids, and it also assumes that the current emissions levels of children, someone nowadays, continue out to the future, whereas that's not happening, it's going down. So I have some issues with that number, but it is probably the biggest thing you could do still. I totally agree with that. But at the same time, the point that I made in the show last year was, it turns out that the best thing you can possibly do for your child's future is to not have a child, which seems slightly contrary. Like, otherwise, it's what are you doing it for? If you're doing it for environmental reasons, then what are you doing it for?
No, there's also the fact that motherhood is slavery. So I would, I would have a child if I was a dad.
Yeah.
I would definitely have a baby if I was a dad, because it doesn't carry the risk of death. It doesn't ruin your body.
What about death from nagging?
So there's the aspect of just losing your personhood, and then also just it could grow up to be a murderer or something really disappointing. The feeling of having a parasite in your body.
Sure.
Like, and then just every aspect from birth till your child's death is horrifying to me.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't want to have I want to have a baby, then skip all the bits in between, and then just have another adult that's related to me.
Yeah.
And we can sit at my kitchen table and I'll be like, when your father and I bought this house, would you believe Catford was really rough? And then I'll just laugh.
I think it's up to everybody what they, how they feel about it. Yeah. They're all absolutely good reasons not to do it. One of my reasons or thinking is, like, say lots of people chose not to have kids for environmentally conscious reasons, but then everyone who didn't care about the planet had kids and brought up kids that didn't care about the planet. You then end up with a whole generation of people that aren't caring about it, and therefore one of the best things you can probably do is try to bring, you know, obviously, as you say, you can't control what your kid does. But if you're having an active part in the next generation, you know, and trying to impart wisdom or like explaining, then that's surely a much better way of looking at it than I'll just not take part in the next generation.
So you want to grow an eco soldier?
What I'm saying is, I'm Sarah Connor in Terminator, right? And I've got John, that's my son, and I'm going to get my son to, I don't know, but he can't remember what he does. He kills the Terminator, doesn't he? No, he's like the leader of the resistance.
Say you become a vegetarian because it's better for the environment, or a vegan, and you eat this great diet of locally sourced vegetables or high fiber diet. You're going to fart more, making you the same as the cows that are bad for the environment.
So humans fart differently from cows, and it's actually
we do have less stomach.
So we've only got one stomach, whereas cows have got four, and so it's to do with the digestive process.
It's because they're not meant to eat grass because it's terrible.
Basically, if we could, there was some studies which have shown, and it's not like a test. They started feeding cows like seaweed, and it really reduces the amount of emissions that come out of cows. But obviously we would then need to change it so that every cow in the world eats seaweed, and people have to grow that instead of like whatever grains and barley that they're fed.
I've seen a lot of videos about making stuff out of seaweed and eating seaweed.
Seaweed
and
seems to be a pretty good thing.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, it grows in the sea, so you don't need to use extra water.
And land.
And then it's full of nutrients, and it's obviously vegetarian. So
I really like it when I get it from like Chinese restaurants as well, and they cover it in salt, and I'm like, seaweed.
Yum, yum, yum. The
Whisperer.
I've just found out that seaweed in a Chinese restaurant is actually cabbage. My mind has been blown. I am absolutely furious about this. Oh, my whole life's been turned upside down, as Will Smith said in The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. That's how I feel right now. Absolutely livid. Absolutely livid.
So when cows fart, they make...
It's actually burping, it's not...
Oh, sorry,
but, but again...
Emissions. Yeah.
So they make more methane because of the, basically, ruminant animals, so cows and also, I think, deer and... I can't remember. There's a number of animals that have four stomachs. We don't have four stomachs. People have done some tests on it, and basically human farts contribute absolutely nothing.
And are you a vegetarian?
I am a flexitarian, which I don't really like to say as a word because it sounds...
Oh, yeah, that's how I went into
atrocious.
It. It's better than doing a sort of all or nothing approach.
Exactly. I go through different periods of sometimes eating meat, sometimes not. But I normally try and have it like maybe every couple, 3 days, say I'll have a something meat-wise. And I normally now only eat chicken pretty much, or fish. Which I think is fine.
Yeah.
But then, like, you know, occasionally I'll maybe have like beef once a month or something like that. Or every
two months. Yeah.
I find it much easier now I'm dating a vegetarian to eat vegetarian.
It does help, doesn't it?
Because I just feel bad if we go to anywhere where he only has one choice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So so we go to vegetarian
places. It helps
places.
If you do stuff together. So my wife and I went vegan for a month together, which was good. And we've just recently done this other diet called the Planetary Diet, which is basically, I can pass that on and I can put it, I don't know if I mentioned it in another episode or not, but it's basically like this, the Lancet Commission did a study which showed if we all ate this rough diet, it would be the best for everybody's health and it would also be the best in terms of like sustainability, in terms of producing stuff for the planet. And it's lots of fruit and veg, but it's not you're allowed like a little bit of meat and a little bit of eggs and a little bit of dairy, but it's like almost
that's what you're supposed to eat a lot of plants.
So I mean, it's close to what we used to eat in the past.
Exactly. So actually they found it's really close to the Mediterranean diet, who are the people that live the longest, and the Japanese diet, who are also the people that live the longest. So it turns out we already kind of, there's places that are already eating that, and that's really healthy for us.
I prefer to eat a lot of vegetables because I feel a lot better from it.
Yeah.
But here's the tricky thing when it comes to the environment, is it's making sure to buy in enough stuff for the week, but not too much stuff that I won't
waste.
No,
it's a tricky one. I'm not very good. I just look at lots of vegetables. I'm like, I guess that's probably about right.
Yeah.
10 bags of kale, I'll probably.
The other thing, the other time. healthiest diet was during the war, rationing, because that was a lot of veg because it wasn't rationed. And I'm not saying this because I remember it. I'm saying it because I saw a program.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then you'd only have X amount of meat and dairy each week.
Yeah. And everybody's really healthy.
No sugar. Yeah, and everyone was really healthy, and everyone came out of the war, apart from the ones who were dead, feeling pretty good.
It also makes me think a lot about, because I'm like fully buy into the stuff about fasting being good for you.
Yeah.
But because there's so much evidence for it, but there's such a pushback against it because. Obviously, because how can you sell people diets and diet products, and like food is constantly, processed food's constantly being repackaged as a health food. Like you get those little vegan bars in shops, but it's dates all squished together, and that's not good for, they taste great, so it's obviously not good for you. So I was thinking how much fasting, this is like just another way to justify fasting, because that's another 2 days that I won't be eating takeaways. And like if I did it on a day that I'm busy, because sometimes I won't eat for the day because of the whole fasting thing. And if I do it on a day where I'm busy and in town, that means I'm not, so I'm not thought of it as a sustainable thing.
Because like there's a few cultures that do that, right? And they
do, tons of cultures do.
Yeah. But I guess the question is, like, you've got to make sure you're doing it.
Yeah.
Not, and it's not becoming a,
like, if you're in the fashion industry and you're a model and you're starving yourself.
Yeah. It's not.
Oh,
like
I'm being sustainable.
My problem
but
is
starving isn't the same as fasting.
No. Yeah.
Fasting's voluntarily abstaining from food for a specified period of time, whereas starving is like
you're trying to.
And it has the two things have totally different impacts on your body.
Yeah.
Talking of that, I might go and have some lunch now.
Yeah.
That's okay. Thanks very much for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
Cheers, guys. Much appreciated. Do you want to plug anything? You've both got fringe shows coming up?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Fun.
Mine is at the Monkey Barrel from the 1st till the 25th of August at 6 p.m.
Nice.
Mine is at the Stand from the 1st to the 25th at noon.
Excellent. So, that was me chatting to Fern and Eleanor. I hope you enjoyed it. We're going to take a break for a little bit for the next maybe kind of 5-6 weeks, and hopefully we'll be back at the start of September with some more episodes for you. Please do rate and subscribe and share the podcast with other people in the meantime. Tell everybody about it. Hopefully people will still keep listening to it then. I'm sure the climate change will still be a thing come September. I mean, maybe not. Maybe we'll have solved it. That'd be great. I'm going to be at the Edinburgh Festival the whole time doing my show, Matt Winning, It's the End of the World as We Know It, Pleasance Below at 4:25 p.m. Please tell lots of people and buy lots of tickets, because I've spent lots of ages writing the show and I need people to come and see it. Do contact us at operationearth@gmail.com or at OpEarthPod on Twitter and Facebook. Drop us a line, that'd be great. Yeah, I think that's about it. The show was produced and edited by Emma Corsham. The music was done by Daniel Drever, what a guy. And Chumchi Design did the logo. So check all those people out. Drop me a line. I am at Matty Wynn on Twitter. So, we are taking a break for a few weeks. I thought I'd use this opportunity to recommend another podcast. It's called Scenario, and it's about photography, and especially sort of photographers, how they make their work. So it's not very technical or anything. You don't need to know anything about photography to enjoy it. It's actually a different story. So like the first episode is about someone that takes pictures and sends them to someone on death row, stuff like that. And that's like a whole episode. It's really interesting. So you can check that out at scenariopodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts from, a local provider. Yeah, just a quick recommendation. Speak to you in a few weeks. Keep doing stuff. Keep up the effort. Keep doing stuff about climate change, please, people, while I'm away, please. Thank you. Bye.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.